Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walters Show. This is a first today. We, as you can tell from the introduction, we have not replaced the venerable Ed Knutson in the introduction. Ed, our beloved voiceover man who did the program for Red Sky Radio, of course, went to be the Lord back in September. And we have shifted over. This is a launch. Today it is officially the Robin Walters Show, but we have not actually found the fit yet for the introduction to replace Ed. So that's why you got a long little bit of music for a change. But this is the program that proclaims the uncompromised Word of God as it applies to contemporary events. And we have a lot to fit in today. And being the first program of 2022, we're going to do something a little different that I have promised about dealing with a section on inheritance, which you really don't want to miss, whether you're old or you are middle-aged or even young and you're looking at what you're going to get from grandpa. Well, we're going to try to fit in at the end what I believe will be the title of the program, called Joe Biden, Liar in Chief. But we do need to take care of some business here today, and I just have to do it. The only time I will likely do it, so bear with me, because these are some things that you need to hear. The first thing is that, while I said this is the official launch of the Robin Walters Show, and supporters, and I appreciate you so much in the past, and in the current, because it takes money to stay on the air, and the 16 years I've done the program, we have never taken a dime. I've never taken a cent from the program. 100% of it goes into programming and equipment where it's necessary. But I lick my own stamps and all of that stuff, and I'm happy to do it. And I appreciate our supporters who have supported Red Sky Radio. You may, going forward, however, continue to support us by way of several ways. But first of all, those of you who write checks to either the Robin Walters Show or Red Sky Radio. There are two accounts, but they merge. They go into the same thing. And if you go on robinwalter.net, which is the web page for the Robin Walters Show, there is a PayPal link. That's robinwalter.net. There is a PayPal link that a few of you use that will continue to function. Combining the two accounts, and we're going to do some other things under Red Sky Radio besides the Robin Walters Show. That's why we have broken them out. So that's the first bit of news. The second one, and this was with a little kind of a bittersweet thing, this is our last week on KKVV Radio in Las Vegas. We have been on KKVV many years. I don't even know how many. There's no disagreement here. Not whatsoever. I love the station. Alyssa, who is the manager, who has replaced Ed, there is doing a fabulous job. It's just a bit of a change in vision and the growth in the podcasting area that has enabled us greater flexibility. But I want to make a few comments. First of all, the station has been great to me. They really have. They've supported me as I have supported them. And like I said, even with the passing of Ed Knutson, it's under the very capable hands of the manager, Alyssa, there, who is doing a fabulous job. And so I want to encourage all the radio listeners who listen to conventional radio, AM or FM on KKVV, I want to encourage you to continue to support the station. It is a great station. It needs your support. And I just have to tell you, you know, I'm not Rush Limbaugh, and I can't dictate the airtimes to the various multiple platforms that we are now on to be able to bring things within my schedule. And that's just simply how we have to work it going forward. The next thing, though, I wanted to let you know is that there are advantages for everyone, not just those who've listened to the Red Sky Radio Now, Robin Walters Show on KKVV, but there's advantages for everyone here. Number one, for KKVV, this will free up a time slot for another worthy ministry that will go in that slot. So it's not that you're going to hear less. You'll just hear something different than the Robin Walters Show. So it's they will bring some other programming into that position where I'm sure that you'll be blessed. Next, I want to tell you, and this is really exciting, the regular listeners listening on AM radio are not going to be at a loss. You're actually going to find it easy to continue to listen to the Robin Walters Show, and now it's expanded really to three different ways by which you can easily listen. First of all, and this was originally, we've had this for a while, but it's still there, and it's not going away. It might actually be the slowest way to get the program, but the website, robinwalter.net. And you go to robinwalter.net. It has a bunch of archived programs. The last program's there. You can download them. The only caveat I would say is if you are downloading them onto an iPhone, please read the instructions. There's actually two steps to download to an iPhone as opposed to one step downloading to your computer or an Android or whatever else there is. I guess it would just be iPhones and maybe iPad. I'm not really even sure about that. Second of all, we have a lot of listeners that do this now. You can receive the program each week via email. Very simple and easy. I do the program. You send me your email site. I just send you the program via email. You listen on your computer. You download it to whatever device, to your phone, however you desire to listen. You can listen. And you would only need to let me know that by way of email to either one of our active email sites. The first one is the old standard, which is info@redskyradio.net, or the new one, which is what I would prefer, which is Robin, not the, but just robinwaltershow@gmail.com, robinwaltershow@gmail.com. And just let me know that you'd like to be added to the email list. You'll get it whenever I do a program. Now, that leads to the third thing, and what I'm really excited about is the expansion of the podcasting, which you can get if you've got a podcast icon on your smartphone, whatever it is. You just hit that button. You type in The Robin Walters Show, The Robin Walters Show, and you're going to pull it up. You'll have access to all the old programs, whether this is on iPhone, Android, whether it's on Google, whether it's on Audible. There are a whole bunch of platforms. iHeart, it's available across the board. You just have to type in The Robin Walters Show. One small exception. In the event, and I anticipate that on some of these I may get kicked off as time goes on, and we resort to rumble.com, in that case, you would go to rumble.com, and there's a search button. You just put in Robin Walters Show. Now, there's no the in front of it, and there are no spaces between the words. Just Robin Walters Show, all one word. And you will pull up that program and all the others, and then you'll be in the system in the future. And if you forget how to do this, just write us. We will pass this on to you through either one of the emails I gave you before. And finally, I would really like to encourage people to pass this program on to others. Encourage others. Our time is short in this world and in this country. And I, you know, I said that was last. That really was not the final thing. I'm getting to probably the biggest reason of all for this switch. And that is the increased, hugely additional flexibility that I have and you have, and actually KKVV has, by bringing in another program. But the flexibility that I have leads to your flexibility in the ways you can listen. But most of all, I now am able to do a program any day of the week, any time of the week, for any length of program that I want to do. It could be the usual 56 minutes. It could be an hour and a quarter. It doesn't matter if I run over 10 minutes to finish a topic, or it doesn't matter if I decide to do something for a half hour or something that is so urgent that's only 20 minutes long. On a Tuesday, it can get out on a Tuesday, and it will go to the website, it will go to the email, it will go to the podcast. This is enormous. In these days and time, to be able to have the flexibility to get something out to you ASAP. How many times have I said on the air, I've got 2 hours of programming for a one-hour show? Well, I'm not going to burden you with 2 hours. I know others, Rush Limbaugh did 3 hours with a lot of ads, and probably not going to do that. Probably going to break it down because guess what? I still work. I actually have a job. Yeah, I'm self-employed as a lawyer, but I still work, so I need to fit that in. So with all of that, just reminding you, you can email me info@redskyradio.net or preferably robinwaltershow@gmail.com. Those are the three ways to get the program, the website, send me your email. I'll send you out the program and all the programs as they are delivered straight to your email. And easiest of all, just hit the podcast button on your iPod, iPad, whatever, smartphone of any sort, and type in The Robin Walters Show, with the exception of rumble.com, where you go to Robin Walters Show, all one word, up in the search bar. There you have it. Okay. Because this is a new year, and because a few weeks ago I mentioned that if I had three or more people that wrote me that said they wanted to hear what the Bible has to say about inheritance, that I would do the program. Well, I received more than three, and the reason I am doing this in particular, two reasons. Number one is because we are seeing an enormous division in this country, the likes of which we have never had, and as far as I'm concerned, we're toast in this country. I really do think we will not last. However, that doesn't change my view of my obligation. That is to do absolutely everything I possibly can with all my resources available to inform you, to try to make sure this country doesn't last and or does last. And if it doesn't last, for you to be protected in what you do, in your positions, in your portfolio, and in this, your inheritance. And how do you leave things to those behind you? It really is very, very important. Because keeping in mind, we're stewards. And we have this division at the national level. I don't see a healing of this divide. I really don't. I'm going to do my best to be part of the healing, but I can't make it happen. It gets worse every single hour of every single day. We have the divide at state levels, county levels, municipalities, in towns, cities, churches, and most of all, we have a division in families. You heard me talk about it last week on this program. The division in families is splitting families in a way that has brought up this topic. What do I do if I have unbelieving brothers and sisters and I don't have children and I was going to leave it to them? How about children who've gone off into Antifa and who knows what? They become part of the enemy. They've walked away from the faith. What do I do? Well, what I would say to do is you go to the Bible. And the Bible gives some very precise flexibility and instructions as to how to consider things. And a little bit of a backup here. I've practiced in all areas of law, from litigation to tax, civil disputes. The practice these days is mostly dealing with real estate and contracts and mediation. But some of it still deals a bit with estate planning, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of wills and trusts. And about 25 years ago, I was moved to do something that has served me well and served my clients well in the seminars and things that I have done. And that is, I went to the Bible, I researched every single verse, and I mean every single verse in the entire Bible dealing with inheritance. Every single one. I think there's 109 or 111, depending upon what version of the Bible you're looking at and how the word is translated. But it's well over 100. And I reduce them to 14 biblical principles on the issue of inheritance. I'm going to share with you today the five that I think are going to address most of the issues. I do not have time for all 14. That's what I leave the seminars for. And I've gone to different communities around, in different states for that matter, doing presentations on this, because the Bible principles are valid in every state, even though I can only do wills and trusts in Michigan and California. But nonetheless, it still applies. There's none of this that doesn't apply to all 50 states. It all does. Now, I want you to get a pencil and paper out. Those of you who are interested in this topic, get ready. You can write down these passages of Scripture, because I'm going to go fast because I've got to get on to other topics. But I'm going to go quickly. You want to write these down. If you can't keep up, remember, I just gave you three ways to get the program. So you can go back and revisit this and write down those verses, stop the recording, whatever you want to do to write them down. But I want to start with the most benign one, and that is the justification for distributing your estate based on your beneficiary's needs. That's right. You know, one of the questions that popped up very early in my career was the question is fair equal? To be fair, does it mean you need to leave things equally? And conversely, does equal mean fair? The answer is no to both questions. And from a biblical standpoint, there are very clear examples where God approved an unequal distribution based upon need. Now think about it. If you're a parent, you've got two or more children. One of them had braces, spent $5,000 on it. The other one, flawless teeth. When you get to doing your will or your trust, do you ding the one that you paid $5,000 for because you cost them $5,000? More than they get what was needed, and then after that everybody splits what's equal, which means the one that had that need actually got more. No, of course you don't do that. It is okay based on need. And the passages here, I'm going to give these to you so I don't forget. Joshua 17:14, Joshua 17:14, and Numbers 26:54. Numbers 26:54. God said it was okay to distribute a larger inheritance to those tribes of Israel that had more cattle, needed more land to handle that cattle, and they had more people. And think about it. Wouldn't the special needs of a child dictate a disproportionate division? They have medical disabilities. They have handicaps. And just the need, let's suppose you have two children. Your daughter is a thriving, single, probably never get married anesthesiologist making $400,000 a year. Your other child is a son, a lovely daughter-in-law, five kids who are being homeschooled, and he's a carpenter and he needs help. I want to tell you, I make that distinction in my own family. I do. And there are needs that demand a greater response. Equal is fine, but it's not dictated anywhere in Scripture. Now, number two, we're going to get a little tougher as we go along here. How about children from a first marriage? Those of you who are in a second or later marriage, write this down, Deuteronomy 21:17. The firstborn child of one who's had two wives, the first of which is from the first marriage, the wife or husband who is despised, that child is not to be disinherited just because they were a child of a despised and divorced spouse. It's Bible. Now, some of you are listening to this here. You've got parents who've remarried, and you're the firstborn child. Now, it doesn't mean that you can disinherit the secondborn. The fact is, there are other passages I'm going to go to here which will dictate or give you guidance as to whether any child should be included in inheritance from the first marriage, second marriage, or what have you. This simply says that children of a prior marriage should retain a position and not suffer the consequences of a failed marriage simply for that reason. Now, there may be other reasons, and these are the other reasons. Point number three, the disinheritance of disobedient children. Now, you might think equality is fine, and everybody, you got four kids, you love them all, and they're just not meaningful differences. You want to leave it all to them equally. So that's great. That's fine if you want to do that. But write these down. I got five of them here. Psalm 37:19 and 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 speaks of disinheriting evildoers. Deuteronomy 12:9 speaks to earning or qualifying for an inheritance by being deserving. That's, you know, there's that passage, and I don't have it written down here, but it says that let not the man or person who will not work think that he should eat. Right? Okay. Sign on the side of the highway, will work for food. Honorable. Fine. Will work for food because you're supposed to. Let not him who will not work think that he should eat. Well, what if you have a ne'er-do-well child who's been just sitting and living on welfare, sucking out of a government trough forever? And you leave them an inheritance that simply enables that indolent behavior? That's actually a violation of Scripture to feed that child. And you say, well, I got grandchildren. Well, okay, we'll talk about leaving something to grandchildren, but not that child. And maybe you leave it into a trust. I mean, my goodness. I mean, where's your money going to go? That it's just going to enable them to not work and continue to not work and continue to spend it on drugs if it's going up one nostril or the other or not work or whatever the problem is. And who do you think that they vote for? Where do you think some of that money, especially if they receive a lot, is going to go? Are they going to go giving it to unbiblical causes and supporting the likes of people like Joe Biden and everybody on the left? And so you end up subsidizing evil and unbiblical causes? I'm not even done with this. Lamentations 5:2 speaks of an inheritance left to disobedient children ending up with strangers and your houses ending up with aliens. Finally, you say, well, that's all Old Testament. Well, you know, Old Testament is not old in this respect. It's guidance. But Ephesians 5:5. For all you New Testament people who think that only the New Testament applies, it speaks of disinheriting rebellious children. Yeah, disinheriting rebellious children. We're going to get to a flip side of this in just a minute, but I got to keep moving here. Now, Proverbs 13:22 says, gifting to grandchildren is a sign of a good man. Good man leaves a gift to his children's children. Why? Because they probably aren't screwed up yet. And maybe, you know, this is what Papa did for me, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. I don't want to go any further than that. But then the last one, the propriety of inheritance being passed in part to those other than children, particularly those who have served you well. The practical application here, children that have failed to care for disabled or elderly parents or couldn't give a rip or haven't heard from them in years, or have turned the grandchildren against them for whatever reason. And that parent, maybe you as a parent, maybe you as a grandparent, you've got friends that are helping you out, non-relatives who have graciously and kindly sacrificed much. Proverbs 17:2. Proverbs 17:2 speaks of the wise servant partaking in the inheritance of the wicked son. And you know what? I've got to mention one other verse. I'm jumping back to unfaithful, disobedient children. If you think that your money is going to change them and cause them to now love you when they couldn't give a rip about you in this life for whatever reason, I mean, if you're the cause of it, go to them and confess what you've done wrong. But if they do not respect you or love you or are just gone down an evil, wicked path in this life, don't think your money is going to change them. It will not. The passage, write this puppy down. Deuteronomy 31:27. Where Moses said, if today, Moses speaking, if today while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then what are you going to do after I'm gone? Now, I'm paraphrasing there a little bit, but the point being, if they were rebellious against Moses to his face while Moses is yet alive, what would they be after Moses is dead? Do you think they'd start loving the Lord? No. What he is saying is that they will be even worse after the death of Moses than they were before he died when they were rebellious against the Lord. They will be even more rebellious against the Lord. There you go. Okay, you pray about it, but there you go. There's the piece. If you want to hear this again and get more of those passages, then go, please, to one of the websites or write me or get the podcast, and you can get all those verses again. And now, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. No, we're moving on to something that is actually a bit related to what I just talked about. We're going to cover some things that are going to deal with lying, and who is the chief liar in this country. Joe Biden was the liar in chief. That's his title. As I said last week, if, as the Bible says, the devil is the father of lies, then Joe Biden is his firstborn son. But I want to lead into that topic with this comment from Ezekiel Emanuel, who was part of Biden's transition team. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. Sorry, Jill Biden. Dr. Jill. Okay, I'll give you the respect of the DR whether you deserve it or not. Who said that governors should not be rewarding people for doing social harm, i.e. not getting the vaccination, the shot, the jab. Governors should not reward people for doing social harm by not getting the jab, by extending unemployment benefits to the unvaccinated. Now, praise God, and I guess this is good news. We got 5 states, Arkansas, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, and Tennessee, that have extended unemployment benefits to people who have lost their jobs over the mandate, simply because they won't take the shot, the jab. Boy, you can see the split coming in this country, can't you? I'm just getting started. We're just getting on a roll here. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter with The Robin Walters Show.
The Robin Walters Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walters Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walters Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
We are back, the Robin Walters Show. We got a few things to work out here. But for those of you know, have heard her before, my granddaughter Anna, who's been on the program a couple of times, and she's a grand age of 9, did that solicitation, if that's what you'd like to call it. I guess it is. You know how good it is to have children and grandchildren that love God, who love Jesus. You know, it says in Scripture, it says there's no greater joy that a person has than to know that his children walk in truth. And I would extend that to the grandchildren as well. Well, anyway, back to Ezekiel Emanuel, the governor's rewarding people for doing social harm by extending unemployment benefits to the unvaccinated is a crime, he's saying. He should not do this. He said on CNN the other night, he said that the governors were rewarding these people. They're doing social harm. As he argues against the incentive, as he calls it, for not getting the vaccine. They should be incentivized, meaning punished by taking things away. So let me ask you, Emmanuel. So you think that taking things away from us constitutes a choice on our part, right? You're the Mr. Pro-Choice guy. You're not for choice. You're against choice. Unless you're talking about anti-life, which is killing unborn, innocent human life. He goes on to say, well, I don't like this incentive at all. I think this basically says that people who are rejecting the vaccine mainly because they are against vaccinations are actually doing social harm, and now governors are rewarding them. This is a very bad incentive and just the opposite of what the country needs. People who stay unvaccinated are impinging on other people. They are propagating the virus. They're going to hospitals that are overloaded if they happen to get very sick. This is hardly individual liberty that does not affect the well-being of other people. No founding father would recognize this as a legitimate argument for individual liberty. Okay, Ezekiel, this is where you're screwed up, man. Okay, we just got talking about those who don't eat or those who don't work shouldn't eat. Yet they're fine with giving out billions of dollars to a bunch of people just sit on their butt doing nothing, collecting stimulus checks, and they can't get stimulated to get off the couch and turn off the remote. No use for those people. But he wants to punish people who want to work. Want to work. They just don't want to stick some stupid experimental drug into their body. And Zeke, baby, this isn't about social harm. These are people who are rejecting it because they don't want to do harm to themselves. A, it doesn't do the good that you say that it does. B, it doesn't stop the receipt or the transmission of the virus. C, you can still get it and you can die just like others. And D, you can die from the stupid shot. Yeah, this isn't about social harm. The hypocrisy of the left blows me away. So let's just try this, Zeke, baby. Let's cut off the unemployment benefits to anybody who supports the purposeful execution of innocent, unborn human life. Let's cut off the unemployment benefits for people who support queer this and queer that, because after all, we know that excessive queerdom in all of its form leads to AIDS and other diseases which cause premature death. Yeah, how many people are going into the hospitals because they got AIDS or sexually transmitted disease, which you seem to love, Ezekiel, but you want to provide hospital care for them and you would give them unemployment benefits? How about botched abortions? You're going to give them unemployment. You're going to, jeez, I can go on and on. Hey, how about those? Let's cut off all the unemployment benefits for every person who opposes the Second Amendment. Because look at the social harm you are doing, whether it's abortion or queerdom and premature deaths there. Look at the social harm you are encouraging and causing. Ezekiel, by denying people the right to defend themselves. Yeah. Look, somebody breaks in, wants to kill you, you blow them away. They only go to the morgue. They don't take up medical expense in a hospital room. Somebody who comes in and knifes somebody or shoots them, we end up with expenses in hospitals because a person can't defend themselves, so they end up wounded, or in some cases, they're in the morgue also. What's the social harm there, Zeke? Let's cut off the unemployment benefits there. This whole idea of let's punish everybody who doesn't agree with us is a consummate, ultimate Nazism. It's socialism on steroids, which, let's put an equal sign after that, equals communism. Rand Paul. Thousands that have likely died because Anthony Fauci de-emphasized therapeutics. I want to tell you, I think Anthony Fauci has finally replaced Dr. Jack Kevorkian as Dr. Death. How many bodies are on his watch? How many people have died because Fauci is so wired to the control mechanisms of the government? You see, Fauci, he should just resurrect that 60s rock band that he was in. I mean, I guess he kind of has. He's brought them all to Washington, D.C., and now he's on the national stage doing his shtick as Tony and the Faucinistas because of all the minions he's got and the millions he's got. Note the distinction. Minions and millions that are just going around. Stupid people driving their car down the street alone, windows up, windows down, with a stupid mask on, which over 150 studies have now shown does no good. What are they? Virtue signaling to try to prove how moral they are? Getting the shot, trying to shame everybody. I'm more moral if I got my shot because I care about people. When we have all these luxury cruise liners, military boats, crowds of all kinds that are getting COVID, and the crowds are almost entirely vaccinated people. The super spreaders are the vaccinated, you know that, right? They think they're in good shape, and that's why they think they can go anywhere, and they spread COVID. They've got it. The mask don't do jack. Well, this leads us to the lying component of Joe Biden with his partner in crime, Tony Fauci and his Faucinistas. Now I'm going to blend his COVID disasters with his COVID lies, with his COVID lies and just his, you know, disasters generally speaking here. But remember, this is the Biden who said on October 22nd, 2020, during the second presidential debate, he said 220,000 Americans are dead. Anyone who is responsible for that many deaths from COVID should not remain as president of the United States. Interesting, because since Joe Baby's taken office, supposedly 400,000 are dead. You see, before everybody died of COVID, whether it was double pneumonia or all these comorbidities, everybody died of COVID because they wanted to ramp up the numbers against Trump. But now, interestingly, Joey hypocrite liar jackass that he is, they are starting to not emphasize cases but only deaths, and in so doing is not any longer attributing every death to COVID quite like they did, because it looks bad for him. After Biden declared victory over the virus earlier this year, the daily average caseload from alleged COVID has increased 1,700%. That's why they now only talk about, or only want to talk about, deaths and severe hospitalizations. because the hospital is, because the COVID caseload is higher than when he took office, and he said no president should remain in office if that's what they do. Don't go away. We got a lot more. We're going to jam in this last little part of the Robin Walter Show. This is Robin Walter, and this is a first for me. You know, in 16 years on the air, I have never promoted a product because I hear others do it. And truth be known, they say they use the product, and, well, they did once. But I want to introduce you to Dissident Soaps, a fine company promoted by Gab News because it's a moral, patriotic American company that makes fine products. Absolute best deodorant I have ever used. Great shampoo, and they even have me now using body wash, which is not, always a guy thing. But check them out online at DissidentSoaps.com. That's Dissident, D-I-S-S-I-D-E-N-T, if you graduated from a government school like me, .com. But be sure and tell them that you heard it on the Robin Walter Show.
Down home, where they know you by name and treat you like family. Down home, a man's good word and a handshake are all you need. Folks know, if they're falling on hard times, they can fall back home. Those of us raised up down home.
We're back with the Robin Walter Show. You see what Joe Biden did to get victory with his lies during the campaign is now coming back to haunt him. Now, November 13th, 2020, just after the election, Biden lied about the Trump's administration's COVID record, and he said, quote, "This crisis demands a robust and immediate federal response, which has been woefully lacking," end quote. This crisis demands a robust and immediate federal response, which has been woefully lacking. Just a few days ago, Joe comes on. He blew it. He surrendered in Afghanistan. Now he's surrendering on this. He said, quote, "There is no federal solution. This gets solved at the state level." What a liar. What an absolute liar. On December 4th, 2020, Biden promised, and I'm thinking, I quote this from Save America here, Biden promised that he would never mandate vaccines, saying, "I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it to be mandatory." And a year later, Biden imposes the unconstitutional federal mandate and threatening any American who refuses to comply that they should be, quote, "prepared to pay," end quote, for their disobedience. Yeah, maybe we'll cut off your Medicare. Who knows? On May 13, 2021, Biden said, "If you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask." Let me repeat, if you're fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. Last week, Biden says, "Wear a mask. It's critical to mask up in public indoor places." Meanwhile, Joe goes hopping around the Capitol without a mask. He's sick. He's coughing. He's spotted maskless at restaurants, blah, blah, blah. The guy is a liar, an absolute consummate liar. For months during the election campaign, Biden and Cammie deliberately raised skepticism about the vaccine. September 2020, Joe said, "Why do we think, God willing, when we get a vaccine, why do you think we should line up to be willing to take it? We've lost so much confidence, the American people, in what is said by this administration. I don't trust Donald Trump." And then Harris comes out, Cammie's Joe's hoe in tow. "I would not trust Donald Trump on a vaccine." During the vice presidential debate, Harris said, "If Donald Trump tells us to take the vaccine, I'm not taking it." Guess what, Cammie baby? It's one of the reasons why I'm not taking the vaccine is because Joe has told us to take it, and we know him to be a consummate, profligate liar from the pit of hell. Lie, lie, lie. February 2021, Biden falsely claimed that we didn't have the vaccine, he said, when we took office. But he received the vaccine before he even took office. Get this. He said, "We didn't have the vaccine before I took office." But he himself had had the vaccine before he took office. And then, of course, didn't give credit to Trump, who had administered, what, over 1 million vaccines? Over a million Americans have been vaccinated by Election Day without mandates, threats, or unnecessary divisiveness. Now, I don't agree with Trump on the encouragement to take it, because I think the vaccines suck, and we're finding out they don't do what they're supposed to do. They actually allow false positives, false negatives. They get sick and die. We have hundreds of thousands of people who have died from the vaccine and died from COVID after the vaccine. October 2021, during a CNN town hall, Biden claimed that America's widespread vaccine availability was because, quote, I went out and bought everything I could do and buy it in sight, and it has worked. Biden, he criticizes, then he criticizes Trump, then he lies, and then he takes credit. Of course, he forgot that it was Trump who invested the $4 billion in the vaccine. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm on a quote from Save America here. Quote, after inheriting the vaccines, Biden had a solemn obligation to monitor the data, keep Americans fully informed, and promote trust through transparency and communication. Instead, he has lied and lied repeatedly and pursued nonsensical policies like denying natural immunity among those who have recovered from the virus, losing the trust of the American people. And he indeed has lost the trust. He's now blaming everybody but himself for the failures. And he's dividing and demonizing America, quoting Save America here, because I need to quote them. He works with big tech giants to censor public debate, scientific discussion. I have to tell you, I love Aaron Rodgers' quote from this last week. I'm to the point my Detroit Lions will probably never be in a Super Bowl as long as I live. But I'm back to pulling for the Packers because I'm pulling for Aaron Rodgers. I love this quote where he said, science that can't be questioned isn't science. It's propaganda. That's from Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Science that can't be questioned isn't science. It's propaganda. And so Joe will not require vaccination from any of the 2 million illegals that have crossed the border, of which 400,000 plus have COVID. You know, okay, is he a liar? He's such a liar. I mean, last week, I guess about 10 days ago, he sends out a pamphlet to all the U.S. news media. So this is 1984, folks. This is socialism getting ramped up, where he was encouraging the social media to begin to print things that spoke famously and favorably about his success as president. He's telling them what to say because they can't come up with all that themselves. And then he even tells them that they got it from a leaked memo. It's not leaked. All they've got to do is go to their email and open up their email inbox. This is, as one person said, this is nothing short of craven ego stroking. I mean, he lays out, you know what, I got to keep moving on. This is just, without mentioning the administration inherited three vaccines from their predecessor, Biden claims a credit for a 70% jump in vaccination rate year over year. I'm not big on the vax, as you know, but he's claiming credit for something he had nothing to do with, nothing at all. And he's trying to tell the media that they need to be showing what he's doing for this country, notwithstanding the fact that we have runaway inflation, disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, a border crisis that's out of control. But he wants to tell the media to stroke him and tell him what good things that he's doing, and that he's telling them how they could report that they got the story through a leak. An elite journalism. There's three sentences that describe Joe Biden. No brains, no cojones, no morals. And then he doesn't even stop there. I mean, the speech that he gave at South Carolina State in Orangeburg, that he claimed to have been the one going out to desegregate restaurants and movie theaters. He said that Joe Biden desegregated the restaurants and the movie theaters during the civil rights movement. He didn't do anything. He didn't do any of that sort. And first of all, how could he? He's just one more stinking, democratic, lame senator from Delaware. He had no authority to do anything. He didn't do it, and he didn't have the authority to go out and desegregate the restaurants. Quote, I started in politics because of the civil rights movement. I noticed that some of you were looking and that you thought, well, how does he know the black national anthem? Well, that's because I sat in a black church after going to the 7 o'clock mass and getting ready to go out and desegregate restaurants and movie theaters. End quote. What a bunch of crap. This is a guy who actually opposed ending school segregation by the use of busing and opposed other measures that would lead to desegregating. Isn't he the one who said, well, I'm not an activist. I was not marching. I was not down in Selma, Alabama, but I was out there ending school desegregation full time. I did it. Even the Washington Post said, and I got to quote them, the degree of his lies. President Joe Biden keeps telling lies. This is her quote. He just told a New Hampshire crowd of having had a house burned down. This is just last week. With my wife in it, that she got out safely, God willing. End quote. The fire that he's talking about, the AP is now fact-checking Joe Biden. It was a kitchen fire. Nobody, the house did not burn down. There was no damage from the outside. Joe just let the bacon fry too long and it caught on fire, but the house burned down. He can't quit talking about a little chat that he had with the Amtrak conductor in his seventh year as vice president. Okay, seventh year as vice president, next to the last year of Obama. That guy retired 15 years before Joe Biden became vice president, and he died by the year Biden took office. But he claims he was offered a job by an Idaho lumber company also. There's no record of that. He claims he used to drive an 18-wheeler. That didn't happen. He claims he visited the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue after the 2018 massacre. The rabbi said, no way there. It says that all the economists back his plans for inflation as a temporary spike, insists the border surge is seasonal, calls his disastrous Afghan bug out a success, while falsely claiming his generals didn't object, quoting again, Save America. The guy is a consummate liar, a consummate liar. He's also the guy who said that the new Georgia voting law prevents working people from getting to the polls before they get off work. Lie. He said the Second Amendment bans cannons. Lie. He said if you get vaccinated, you can't get COVID. Lie. He said that just last week to Don Lemon on CNN. Lie. Joe Biden said that he had to pull out of the 1988 race for president. Do you know why he had to pull out? Lying. Yeah, he committed plagiarism. He lied. He said that something that somebody else wrote was his own. He's just, like I said, the devil's the father of lies, and Joe Biden is his firstborn son. That is just how bad he is. And what I have discovered, well, two things I've discovered with this presidency as it relates to the topic at hand. James Madison said, we get the government we deserve. That should set you down. We get the government we deserve. And he's right. That's a biblical thing. God gave Israel Saul, the government they wanted and the governor king they deserved. and they paid dearly for it because they looked away from God to human answers. Is Joe demon-possessed? I don't know. Not all demon-possessed people foam at the mouth, you know. Not all of their heads spin around and puke out green slime like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. And the surprise of all to me in all of this, well, first of all, let me tell you what is not a surprise. It's not a surprise to me that Joe Biden's favorability ratings are down to 36%, an all-time low. What does shock me is that there are still 36% of the people in this country that think he's doing a great job. Remember, this is Rob Walter, encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week on the Robin Walter Show.